Well, good evening, everyone. I want to start with some good news. Who'd like some good news tonight? This is the good news. Jesus is alive and well. Isn't that good news? I think that deserves a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. You're alive and well. And thank you, Jesus, that you're here with us tonight. Amen. I believe that. I believe that Jesus is here amongst us tonight. That excites me. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Who knows what's going to happen with Jesus around? We'll trust him to do what he wants to do tonight. You know, as I was preparing, I felt that there was at least one person here. And just in your own heart, you're saying, actually, I've not felt God's presence with me for a very long time. And if that's you tonight, then the Lord wants to change that. I believe he's saying to you, I've never left you. I've been with you. Because I've said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I've been with you. But you've been going through a time and perhaps the enemy's been lying to you. Something's been going on, but you would say, if I was really honest, I don't feel that God's with me. And you felt that for a long time. Well, tonight, if that's you, then let us pray for you tonight, because I think Jesus wants to bring a change to that. He wants you to know in a special way that you're loved, accepted, precious. And that he's right with you and will continue to be with you. And I'd like to pray that you have a real sense of the presence of Jesus. Because I believe that's what he wants for you tonight. And then I just felt too that there's somebody here. And if you were honest, you'd say, my life is not filled with joy. Don't really feel it's filled with the Holy Spirit, but if I had to sum up my life tonight, I would put it this way. My heart, my life is filled with fear. It's just like I'm overwhelmed by fear. My life is filled with fear. And I believe Jesus is here because he wants to bring a change to that. Because he loves you and wants to come and take away the fear. He's won. You talk about David as being a great man of God, the psalmist David, and he was. But there were times when he was filled with fear. But he was able to say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And what the Lord has done for David, he can do for you. He wants to set you free from your fears. Well, tonight, David Trenier, he's away on holiday with Laura and the children. He said, David, you can do whatever you like. I thought, that's dangerous, David. Do you really mean that? I can do whatever I like. And I didn't quite know what to do, but there's just one or two things that have come to mind. And I'd just like to do a short review, really, on the book of Joshua. Because over the last few months, if you're new, if you're here for the first time tonight, we've been looking at Joshua and learning so many wonderful lessons through the study of Joshua, the book of Joshua. And I thought I'd just do a little review. It sort of brings the series to a close. And I trust that God will speak to us tonight. In fact, let's just pray, shall we? Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. Lord Jesus, would you anoint my lips tonight to speak your word? Would you anoint our ears tonight to hear your word? You know each one of us individually. You know what we need to hear. Would you speak into our hearts tonight your word, your living word, your life-changing word. We ask it for your glory and for your name's sake. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses in Joshua chapter 1, and then we're going to turn to the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 1, page 216. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then turn over to 4:1, Joshua 24. And we'll just look at verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything that the Lord had done for Israel. And I just want to leave it there because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Two main characters in this passage. One is God and the other is Joshua. And of course, Joshua was leading the Israelites into the promised land. And we find out so much about God through this book. I think I said right at the beginning, because I did speak on Joshua chapter 1, some of you may remember that. Who remembers that I spoke on Joshua? Oh, quite a few. That's encouraging. Thank you for encouraging me tonight. And I said then that actually we see, you know, the hand of God all the way through this book. It's all about God and the activity of God. And one of the things that we learnt about God as we went through, and there were many things, but I want to pick up on one or two things tonight. The first thing is this, that God is a God who keeps his promise. God was leading them into a land that had been promised to them. We know it more as the promised land. We talk about it in that way, don't we? This is the promised land. God had promised it to them. And here we see in this book, God fulfilling his promise and giving them this land. And let's have a look at Joshua 23 together. Joshua 23, verse 14. And Joshua is coming to the end of his ministry. And he says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. Our God is a God who keeps his word. And one of the first things I want to say tonight is, has God promised you anything? Because if he has, and you know it's from God, there's one thing for sure, and that is that promise will be fulfilled. because God keeps his word. Maybe it's a relative that you're praying for to come to know the Lord, a friend, a family member, and you're praying and you're not seeing anything happen at the moment, but you sense God has said, they're mine. Keep praying because God is true to his word. Maybe you're out of work and you're looking for a job, but you sense God has said, I have just the right job for you. Hold on to that word. Hold on to that promise, because God is one who keeps his promises. That's what we learn about God from this book. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you sense that God has promised you healing. And at the moment, you're not seeing the evidence of that. Hang on to what you feel God has promised, because God is one who keeps his word. Maybe it's a range of other things that you feel God has promised you. Tonight, one of the things the Lord wants you to just be reminded of who he is. And for you, just in your hearts, to say afresh, Lord, thank you for that promise. Thank you for being reminded tonight that you are a God who keeps your word. I don't see the fulfillment of it just yet, but I know it's coming. I know you will come through. We've all got promises, I'm sure. There's things that we feel that the Lord has spoken to Rita and I, promises that we don't yet see fulfilled. But tonight, I encourage myself in saying, Lord, you've kept many promises in the past. I don't think you're going to start failing us now. We are looking to see you come through. God is a God who keeps his word. But the second thing we find about God, and I love this, our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of the impossible. Isn't that good news? You know, sometimes I think we're a little bit nervous about believing in a miracle because it seems such a big thing. A little bit nervous about impossible situations. I understand that. But we have a God who can do the impossible. We have a God who can work miracles. Let's just have a look at one or two of those. And Jordan, the crossing of Jordan, Joshua chapter 3. Verse 14 says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephath, where while the waters were flowing down to the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, and was completely cut off. Wow. That's our God. What I love about God is He doesn't wait until it's easy. He doesn't wait for the dry season when there's a little bit of water there to part the waters. He waits until it's almost, you know, well, it's an impossible situation. He waits until there's a big flood. And when he works, everybody sees it's God. And nobody can talk it away. Nobody can dismiss it as a fluke. God parted the waters in a flood. It's like with Lazarus. You know, he didn't, when he heard about Lazarus in John 11, you know, as soon as he heard that he was sick, go along and bring healing while he was still alive. No, he waited until he was dead. And then he went. That's our God, isn't he? He waits until it's the most impossible situation we can imagine. And then he moves in to do the impossible. And then let's have a look at one more impossible situation. Joshua 10. And we'll go from verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nations avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jasher, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed till the going down about a full day. Can you imagine that? The sun stopping for a full day. What did God have to do to make that happen? Wow, that's our God. There is nothing he cannot do. And, well, of course, one of the obvious ones that I haven't mentioned, but was the walls of Jericho. That was an impossible situation, wasn't it? I don't know how Joshua felt when the Lord told him, just march around the city. That's going to do it. You know, you're going to defeat the city just by walking around it. I'm sure Joshua went back to him and said, Lord, I'm not sure I heard you properly. Can you say that again? Is that what you really mean? But as they walked around, the walls came down and it says they walked right into the city. That's our God. Steve Jackson here. I was around for his talk on this passage, and he talked about Jericho, you know, being tightly shut, an impossible situation, and how that we at times find ourselves in impossible situations where we need to see a miracle, and how God can bring the walls of Jericho down. He can actually move in our impossible situation and bring glory through it to his name. Once again tonight, I'm going to preach Steve's message. Are you in an impossible situation? It's a good situation to be in to see God work, because he loves working in impossible situations. I'm in an impossible situation at the moment. Many of you know about that. I need to see God come through. I need to see a miracle. I know that God can perform that miracle. If you don't know, if you're a visitor, I've just recently been diagnosed with cancer in the lung and in the bowel, and the prognosis is not good. That's what the doctor said to me. I thought to myself, I wonder what Jesus thinks about that. Because I'm in the hands of Jesus. And I know a God who can do the impossible. And I'm looking to him. You might be in an impossible situation tonight. I want to encourage you, keep looking to the God of miracles. Because I know, if I asked how many have seen a miracle in their lives, or know people who have seen a miracle, I think we'd see a lot of hands go up. My hand would certainly go up. I've seen miracles. I know a God of miracles. And tonight, if you need a miracle, Jesus is the person to keep looking to. You know, sometimes we'd like miracles now. Lord Jesus, I'd like my miracle and I'd like it now. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't always work like that, does it? Anyone seen that it doesn't quite work like that? We have to wait his time. Sometimes he delays, but he does it for a reason. He does it for his glory. It's very interesting, really, how I've spoken over many years, and what you teach boomerangs back on you. I think anyone who's preached will say that, you know, you preach a word and sometimes it comes back to you. And I've felt the Lord say in my situation, you know, because I've told people over many years, you know what you need to do? You need to trust the Lord. That's easy, isn't it, to tell people to trust the Lord? Do you know what the Lord's saying to me in this situation? Practice what you preach, David. Practice what you preach. You've told people to trust me. Now you need to trust me in this situation. A couple of months back, I was encouraging you to be strong and courageous. Boy, that one's boomerang back on me. The Lord's saying to me in this situation, David, you've been telling people to be strong and courageous. Now it's your turn to be strong and courageous. And by his grace, I can be that. And I have to say, through the prayers of many of you and others that are praying, prayer makes a huge difference. Don't tell me that prayer doesn't work, because I'll get really mad. Really mad. Because I know prayer works. And I'm a living testimony, Rita as well, as we're going through this, prayer works. God answers prayer. I've seen it throughout my life. And that's why I love praying, because I know every time I pray, something happens. Do you have that belief in your heart? If you do, you'll pray lots. Some people don't believe anything happens when they pray. And maybe that's why they don't pray very much. I believe every time we pray, something happens. And I'm very thankful for those who are praying for me. I can remember on that first Sunday evening talking about Joshua in chapter 1. Again, you may remember it. I was talking about how God gives us things, but we need to move in and possess them. Do you remember that? Just because God's given us something, it doesn't mean we've got hold of it. We've got to move in and take hold, possess what God has given us. And I encouraged people then to, you know, find out what God has given you, what he's promised you, and then move in and take possession of that. Because we see in chapter 1 there, the Lord says, you know, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, you've got to go and take possession of it. And it's just an interesting experience for me, because normally when, you know, Rita will tell you this again, if I get a cold or I get the symptoms of cold, I immediately rise up and think, I'm not having this. And so I start walking around and say, Lord, I'm not having this cold. I refuse it. By your stripes I am healed. You said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I resist this in the name of Jesus. I refuse to have this cold. In Jesus' name. Rita laughs at me. She's smiling right now. And more times than not, can't say 100%, but more times than not, the cold goes away. I don't have a cold because I refuse to have it. And so, again, when it came to the news of cancer, I was all ready. I had my guns loaded. I was about to go for it. But it was very interesting. You see, when it comes to possessing what you believe God has for you, you have to hear what God is saying. And that's what I encourage you to do. Maybe the things you believe God has for you, you want to possess them. What is God saying? How are you going to possess what God has given? It comes back to hearing God. There's no other substitute for hearing from God. And every single one of us here can hear from God. Because God speaks. And so I had, you know, my guns loaded. I thought, I'm going for this. And God spoke to me. Ezekiel 14. I'm just going to look at it. And that's interesting. I don't know whether you have this problem, but sometimes verses jump all over the place. Because it's not Ezekiel 14. I don't know why they do that. Anyway, the scripture says, the scripture I got was this. And it came very powerfully to me. And it was this. I'll try and find it. It says this. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Do you know why? Because the Lord was saying to me, David, I don't want you this time to get going and stir yourself up and, you know, really wrestle through on this. That's not the way for you to possess what I've got for you. This time, I'm going to fight for you. You need only be still. I thought, okay, Lord. Well, I said, okay, but you know, the sort of person I am, that's the most difficult thing for me to do. Just to be still. I just want to be so, you know, active. And yet the Lord is saying, and I have to keep reminding myself, David, I'm going to fight for you on this one. You need only be still. So I know the way I'm going to possess what I believe God has for me is not through any effort of my own, stirring myself up. I know it's being still and allowing the Lord to fight the battle. That's been very helpful to me. You see, we can't put God in a box, can we? We need to hear what he's saying and then say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. By your grace, I'll do that. I'll be still and let you fight for me in this situation. Okay. Exodus 14. Do you know what? That's what I've got in my notes. Why I went to Ezekiel, I don't know, but I've got Exodus 14 there. Yes. The Lord will fight for you. Thank you very much. Just so you know, it's not some word I picked out of the air. It is there in Exodus 14. But it wasn't just about God and us understanding God and the sort of things that he can do. He's a God who keeps his promise. He's a God of miracles. We're in impossible situations, some of us, but we look to the God of the impossible. He's working his purposes out for each one of us. But also I want to look at Joshua. What I love about Joshua is his obedience. I think all the way through his life, he sought to be obedient to the Lord. Even when it didn't make sense what God said, he was obedient. I think there's a lesson there for all of us. You know, much of the time, what the Lord says makes a lot of sense. And we can walk in obedience with the Lord. I found it the most difficult obeying the Lord when my mind goes, duh, that, no, sorry. That doesn't make sense to me. But a number of times I have done things that haven't made sense in the natural. And I've looked back and they have worked fantastically. And I thought to myself, I am so God, so glad I didn't make my reason God. And say, I don't understand it, so I'm not doing it. But you know, there are some people like that. Their reasoning process is their God. If they don't understand it, they're not doing it. Let's not be those sort of people, friends. Because God at times might say something. And we go, whoa. You know, Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho didn't make a lot of sense. But he obeyed, and what a victory. As we obey God, we will see our victories too. And I think one of the things about Joshua is he fulfilled his destiny. Joshua fulfilled his destiny. And his destiny was to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua 24:33, then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. And after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnah Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Serah. North of Mount Gasher, sorry. Here was a man who had a call of God upon his life. He had a destiny to fulfill. And we see right at the beginning, the Lord said to him, Joshua, you're going to need to be strong and courageous to fulfill your destiny. And by God's grace, he was strong. He was courageous. And he did fulfill his destiny, the calling upon his life. I think of David again. David, King David, as we know him, he had a destiny. He had a calling upon his life. And I think right in those early days, he could have missed it. Because he had to be strong and courageous when he heard Goliath shouting out across the valley. He looked at Goliath, and Goliath wasn't just 6'6". He was bigger than that. He was 9 foot something. That's tall. That's big. I wonder what would have happened if David had, through fear, run away at that time. Said, whoa, I'm not getting, you know, involved in this dude. He could eat me for breakfast. I'm off. You know, I value my life too much. If he'd done that, he would never have been king. If he'd run away, he would never have fulfilled the calling upon his life. He would have never fulfilled his destiny. But he was strong and courageous, as Joshua was. And he went, and we know that he was incensed that this man would defy the army of the living God. And he went and he killed Goliath. That was a very important moment in his life. I think that shaped the rest of his life. Joshua, David, but what about us? See, I believe we're people of destiny too. I was reading through Ezekiel some years ago, and I got to Ezekiel chapter 40. Has anybody ever thought that the Bible's boring? No, I'm sorry, that's not fair to ask you that question. I was reading about the measurements of the temple, and there's about four chapters of the measurements of the temple. And this wall was so long and so high, and this door was so wide and this high, and on it goes. And I was having, you know, a quiet time in the morning and reading, I think, a bit of chapter a day. And after about 4 days, I was through with it. I said, I'm fed up, Lord, with just hearing about measurements. I have nothing to take with me into the day. You know, just a head full of figures, measurements. And I said to the Lord, I think this is boring. I don't understand why it's here. I'm bored with this. I can't wait to get to Daniel and the lion's den and some excitement. Let's get to Daniel. I was fed up. And then God spoke to me. And it sent shivers right down my spine. This is what he said. He said, David, I'm a God of plans, aren't I? Detailed plans. I just thought back, yep, you really are. And I'm just about up to there with them, Lord. But then he said this. He said, just as I had plans, detailed plans, for the temple in Jerusalem there, so you, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, just as I had detailed plans for that temple, you as the temple of the Holy Spirit, I have detailed plans for your life. Whoa, I tell you, that rocked me. I thought, wow, you can speak through Ezekiel, Lord. I'm sorry. And I said, Lord, I want to be one who follows your detailed plans throughout my life. I don't want to miss anything. I know I've been created for a purpose. I want to live for the very reason for which you created me. You are a person of destiny. You have a calling upon your life. You're not here by accident. You don't know the Lord by accident. Young people, I want to talk to you specifically. You've got a life ahead of you. Make sure that you are bold and courageous and take hold of the destiny, the calling of God upon your life. Don't miss it. Don't let it slip from your grasp. Older folks, perhaps you know what your calling and destiny is. Perhaps you're living it out. There's no better way to live than live under the calling and following the destiny that God has for you. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And if you don't know what your calling and destiny is, ask the Lord. Sometimes you know what it is throughout your life. Sometimes he unfolds it bit by bit. But each of us have a calling and a destiny to fulfill for his glory. Joshua fulfilled his destiny over the years to 110. Are we going to fulfill the destiny that God has for us? You see, I know I'm a man of destiny. I know that there are things, I believe there's some things that I have yet to do before the Lord takes me. I really believe that. I don't believe cancer will take me. I believe Jesus will take me when my job is done on earth. That's what I believe. With all my heart. That gives me such confidence. And I have got some plans and purposes for the future, for Rita and I, some things we still believe are yet to be done. And we're saying over to you, Lord, no guarantees, we know. But I know, Lord, because I'm in your hands, we will fulfill the calling upon our lives. We will. Whatever the doctors say. And when the Lord has said, job done, David, then and only then will I be promoted and hear the well done. Isn't that good news? That's good news for me. For you. Do you know your calling and your destiny? Joshua did. David did. I believe Rita and I are walking in ours. Perhaps there's many people here that are walking in their calling and destiny. I look at these two here, Mike and Sarah, walking in their destiny, impacting young people. Fantastic what they're doing. I rate these guys highly. I think I've told you. If not, I have told you now. Walking in their destiny, fulfilling what God has in their lives. Tonight, I want all of us to be able to go from here saying, I'm a man, I'm a woman of destiny. I have a calling upon my life. And by his help, I'm going to fulfill that. As for each one of us, that's the sort of man Joshua was. I think really I want to bring that to a close. There's more I could say. But I think that's enough for tonight. What I'd like to do, particularly for those who are under 30, I'd like to pray for you because you've got a good span of life ahead of you. You may not know what your calling and your destiny is. I'd like to pray for you tonight. And if you're willing, I'd like you to stand in just a moment, if you're under 30, because I want to pray for you, and specifically I want to pray that God will do for you what he did for Joshua, and that's make you strong and courageous. Because you see, I think today in this world, with the enemy that we have, Christians have to be strong and courageous. They have to make decisions that are difficult at times, as David did. He didn't run away in fear. He faced the enemy. And I don't want anyone, particularly young people tonight, to miss what God has for them. So can I ask all those under 30, if you wouldn't mind standing, could you do that, please? It's great to see so many under 30 here. Praise God. Some of you know what your destiny is already. That's great. But I just want to pray for you and ask God to touch your lives in a fresh way as you head out into next week, as you head out into the months that lie ahead. Lord Jesus, for all of us, you've got a calling upon our lives. You've created us for a purpose. But particularly, Lord, for those under 30, think of you, Lord Jesus, where you started your ministry when you were 30. Some of these haven't moved into the specific thing that you have for them yet. But I want to pray for all of them. Lord Jesus, would you come and anoint them afresh with strength and courage? I pray that you would strengthen them so that they can stand for you. I pray, Lord, they'd never be in a situation where fear takes over and they run away. I pray, Lord, you'd keep them in the very center of your will. So that there'll come a day, Lord, when they can look back and say, I have fulfilled the calling has been upon my life by God's grace, through his help, through the prayers of others. I have fulfilled the calling that's been upon my life. May that be the testimony for each one. But right now, Lord, would you strengthen them by your Holy Spirit? Strength and courage, I pray, in each one of them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. And just as I come to a close, you know, fulfilling your calling for Joshua, it was leading the children of Israel. For David, it was being a king. For Rita and I, it's been working with an organization that's been reaching out into different parts of the world. For you, who knows what your calling and destiny is? It doesn't have to be something like that. It may just be. Your calling may be to, as it were, shine your light at work. It may be to be married and to raise godly children. It may be to be an active member in the church, not a passive member, but an active member in there. That's what it might be. And as you do that, you're fulfilling the calling upon your life. So I'm not saying that you have to be in leadership. I'm not saying you have to go to other parts of the world. But God has a calling for each one, and it's following that through faithfully to the end. May God help us all to do that for his glory. Amen.